Well, how do you know that this so-called Great Recession really is one of the worst economic meltdowns in modern U.S. history? Here's a couple of metrics for you. The use of food stamps is at an all-time high. Just last year, the Treasury's unemployment benefit outlays reached another all-time high. But one government program has seen its application numbers skyrocket and has gotten much less attention. There are now more than 10 million Americans collecting Social Security disability benefits, otherwise known as SSDI. That's a 30% jump from just a decade ago, and many of those tapping the disability fund happen to already be out of work. Well, there are two new studies, one co-written by the Obama administration, documenting a direct relationship between Americans seeking disability benefits and their unemployment benefits running out. Well, joining us now is Mark Duggan. He's professor of business and public policy at the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Mark, the bottom line was implied in the intro. Is disability insurance simply becoming another form of long-term unemployment insurance in a bad economy?
I mean, to some extent, that is true. It's a program that has always been highly sensitive to economic conditions. So when the economy is doing really well, fewer people apply for benefits. And when it's not doing so well, more people apply. And just because the magnitude of this downturn has been so large, it's been, you know, the effect on SSDI has been especially pronounced.
Now, just so people understand, we should remind them that Social Security and Medicare are retirement programs. We know that, but they're also eligible. They're also available to people with disabilities if you qualify under, you know, complex set of federal rules and such. So, being disabled does qualify you for Social Security benefits in a good economy or bad, right?
That's right. Yeah. So basically, if you look at the Social Security program as a whole, SSDI accounts for more than 18% of spending, and that is compared to just 10%. 20 years ago. So it's been growing extremely rapidly relative to Social Security, and those folks on SSDI also receive Medicare, and so another, you know, sort of $80 billion in Medicare spending is for SSDI recipients.
Right. Okay, Mark Duggan. So the economy's bad. We all know that. It makes sense that people who are unemployed or in dire straits would do everything they can to survive. It's not surprising that more people would be trying to qualify as disabled. I think that probably makes sense to people. But the question is, how are they getting the benefits? Has it become easier to get your application accepted than it once was? Why does more people applying mean more people getting on benefits?
Well, I think that partly it is a function of the people have become increasingly likely to appeal. So often people are rejected on their first application, and then they can appeal multiple times, and the likelihood of that has gone up quite a lot. And so now almost half of awards, I understand, according to the most recent data, are being made on appeal. And so for various reasons, folks have become more likely to appeal with, you know, there was this article recently in the Wall Street Journal documenting how the legal community and others have become better and better at helping people navigate the application process. So, yeah, it's certainly true that people are, there's just more help, I think. And, you know, in some cases, that's a good thing. In some cases, though, it can be problematic.
Well, let's hear from one of those very disability lawyers you're talking about. This is Paul Nolan. He spoke to The Takeaway back in September about helping people try to get disability benefits, saying it's actually not all that easy.
2.5 million people apply. 1.5 million, 1.6 million get denied. Now, of those who appeal that, the appeal takes 2 to 3, sometimes 4 years to get that resolved. So if you're not approved at the initial stage, you're waiting several years with no income.
Now, Mark Duggan of Wharton, he's agreeing with you that a lot of people get benefits on appeal, but he's saying it's actually gotten, he seems to be suggesting it's gotten a lot tougher to get benefits, not easier.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's, if you sort of look at big picture at the program as a whole, I'm not sure I agree with that in the sense that if you look 20 years ago, this was a program that differentially paid benefits to people with cancer, heart attack, stroke, and the like, and it's morphed into a program that differentially pays benefits to people with mental disorders, back pain, and other musculoskeletal conditions. And that's not to say those conditions aren't very disabling, but it's just a...
You're just saying the universe is wider.
Dramatically.
The universe has gotten wider, in other words, of benefits you can apply for.
Absolutely. So those cancer and heart attack and stroke people are still getting on the program. Just it's been flat. If anything, it's been slightly declining, their numbers relative to the population as a whole. But there's been this kind of explosion in the number of people with mental disorders and musculoskeletal conditions, which would include things like back pain, going onto the program. So that's where the real growth in this program has been, and it's been pretty enormous.
Yeah, Mark Duggan, what are the politicians doing about this? I work on Capitol Hill, and I have not met a lot of politicians lately in an election year on any side of the aisle who wants to talk about curtailing Social Security in any way.
Right, so politically, it's not a huge winner. I mean, I think everyone knows that there's this fiscal problem coming down the pike in the U.S. I mean, I guess we're currently dealing with it with a pretty large budget deficit, but at some point, I think folks have the sense that we're going to need to reform the tax code, reform entitlement programs, and disability is likely to be an important part of that. And for whatever reason, I mean, you hear a lot of talk about, with Medicare and with Social Security, raising the normal retirement age and Social Security or changing the benefit formula or other things. Disability is, to some extent, off the radar screen, despite the fact that, you know, it is a huge program, very rapidly growing, and, I don't quite understand it.
Is it putting the kind of pressure on Social Security that's accelerating its insolvency? I mean, Social Security benefits for the elderly are the big thing. Is this really a drag on the system? Should we be concerned about this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, If you look at the Social Security Trust Fund, the DI Trust Fund component is running a huge deficit at present, and that it basically hastens the date at which the Trust Fund, the Social Security Trust Fund as a whole, runs out of funds.
My last question for you, Mark Duggan, the Obama administration is putting out reports on this. We said that in the intro. Does that signal they're willing to do something about it if they're talking about it, or are they just kind of putting paper on the shelf to collect dust?
Yeah, I don't think it's that perhaps – I don't want to read too much into the release of a report. I mean, it's an important program, and they're providing some useful information on it, but it could be. I think, you know, in the years ahead, I think it's very likely that this program that, you know, folks will – sort of think about, are there things about this program that we want to rethink?
There's a 30% jump now from a decade ago in Americans collecting Social Security benefits under disability. It's no coincidence because the economy's a mess and people need help. There are now more than 10 million Americans collecting Social Security disability. Mark Duggan from Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania, thanks for walking us through it. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.